And the nadir is total nibbana. It's the Buddha lay between two solid trees. Devas came up in the heavens, and they scattered flowers, incense, sang songs, played musical instruments in honor of him. And he pointed this out to one of the monks who was with him. He said, this is what the devas are doing. He said, that's not the proper way to show respect for the Buddha. The proper way to show respect is to practice the Dhamma in accordance with the Dhamma. So this is how we show respect for the Dhamma and the Buddha and the Sangha, by our practice. Now, to practice in accordance with the Dhamma means two things. One, it means we don't try to change the Dhamma to suit our preferences. A famous Zen teacher once said, the great way is not difficult for those with no preferences. Of course, we prefer to have the end of suffering rather than suffering. What he meant is that whatever the path requires, you don't let your preferences get in the way. It requires that you make effort. Okay, you make the effort. It requires that you abandon things that you like that will give short-term benefits but long-term harm. You make yourself want to abandon them. As for things you don't like doing but will give long-term benefits, you make yourself want to do them. You take the long-term into account. Because if we practice just in accordance with our likes, well, it's not different from everybody else in the world. And we see what happens if people just do what they like. All the trouble in the world comes from the fools who say, well, I just want to do what I want. Nobody's going to stop me. That's one meaning of practicing the Dhamma in accordance with the Dhamma. The other is to purify your mind. We practice generosity, we practice virtue, and we meditate. Not to be admired by other people. Not just for the good benefits in the world that come with these things, but as a way of training the mind. Our minds have stinginess, we have greed. We learn how to overcome that stinginess and greed by being generous, by giving a gift. As the Buddha said, we suffer because of our clinging to form, feelings, perceptions, thought constructs, consciousness. And the word clinging means to feed. We're constantly trying to take things in. And this is why we suffer in the world, because we try to take in the good things of the world. Well, the world has all kinds of things to offer to us that are not so good. And if our mouth is open, just taking things in all the time, we're bound to get some bad things coming in. So we learn how to reverse the direction. The Bodhun was visiting Ajahn Sawat one time in Tham Si Khao in Thailand. After a week of meditation, he gave a Dharma talk. One of the points of the Dharma talk was that everything in the world comes in pairs. But the Dharma is one thing clear through. In other words, you start by learning generosity. And you go to the precepts. You learn how to give up the things you might like to do but would be harmful in the long term. You meditate to give up your defilements. So it's practicing giving. But of course, giving doesn't just mean you're deprived. You're actually making a trade. You're trading material things for an expansive heart when you're generous. When you're virtuous, you're trading your desires to be harmful with a sense of self-worth, that you're not going to give in to impulses like that, that you can live in this world without causing harm. The sense of pride that comes with that, sense of healthy pride that comes with that. And of course, when you're meditating, thoughts come up in the mind that are not related to the breath, not related to your object of meditation. You're willing to give them up, no matter how entertaining they may seem, no matter how interesting or important they may seem. Because there's something more important, which is training your mind. Forming a good intention, and then staying with that intention. And it's this way that we purify the mind. The Buddha also said you purify your mind by purifying your actions. And you do that by starting out with the intention that you don't want to harm anyone. You want to look for happiness that's totally harmless. By doing things that would lead to long-term happiness. Because if your happiness depends on harming other people, they're not going to stand for it. It's not going to last. You want happiness that lasts, you have to take their well-being into consideration. So you have to have compassion, you have to have wisdom. And to purify yourself, you take those intentions and you apply them to everything you do. Before you do anything, you ask yourself, what are the results of this action going to be? Notice here the Buddha says, this action that I am going to do. You use the word I. Some people say that if you have a sense that you are doing the path, it's wrong view and you skewed the path from the very beginning. Well, that wasn't the Buddha's way of thinking. You start out with saying, taking responsibility for your actions, taking responsibility for your intentions. Even the intentions in your mind that nobody else can know about, you take responsibility because you know that they will lead to actions. Those actions are going to have results. So you ask yourself, this action that I want to do, what will the results be? If you anticipate any harm, you don't do it. If you don't anticipate harm, you go ahead and do it. But while you're doing it, you have to check to see what the actual results are, because some of the results will come out immediately. Not every action waits for a future lifetime to give results. If you see that you actually are causing harm, you stop. If you're not causing harm, you can continue. When the action is done, you look at the long-term results. If you see that you actually did cause harm, you decide you don't want to repeat that action, you go talk it over with someone who's more advanced on the path to get their advice. You're not ashamed to ask their advice. If you realize that you didn't cause any harm, then you take pride in the fact that you're progressing on the path and you continue training. In other words, you're happy with the results you're getting, happy with the progress you're making, but you're not satisfied. As the Buddha said, the secret to his awakening was that he didn't rest satisfied even with skillful qualities, much less unskillful qualities, until the skillful qualities had yielded the ultimate happiness. That's how you purify your actions. In purifying your actions, you purify your mind. And that's what the purpose of this path is all about. This is why we have monasteries. This is why we have the Sangha. This is why we have support. It's even why we have ecclesiastical ranks. Years back, Rama the Ninth was going to give an ecclesiastical rank to Jamahabua. And Jamahabua said he didn't want one. He wasn't practicing for the sake of that. And the king says, well, we know nobody practices, and nobody who's really sincere in the practice practices for the sake of rewards. But these awards are here to encourage good people. And if good people don't accept them, what purpose do they serve? That was a case where Jamahabua had to take the king's reasoning and accepted the reward. So when a reward like this comes, you take it as encouragement. When you gain any rank in the world, take it as encouragement that people have trusted you with that rank. We see all too many people gaining rank and then abusing their power. And you wonder why we have ranks like this anyhow, if that's all people do with it. If we have ranks, though, and people use them well, it's an opportunity to do more good for more people. Then it serves a purpose. So when you've been given a rank, ask yourself, okay, what good can I do with this? The people who give me this rank trust me to do good. That's why they've given it to me to begin with. So it's not for my own purposes, not for my own aggrandizement. It's for the sake of doing more good for the world. Then you have the right attitude. It's the same with all the worldly dharmas. You gain wealth. You ask yourself, what good thing's going to do with this wealth? Because it's not going to last forever. While I have it, what kind of perfections can I develop in the mind? Because those things last a lot longer. You develop the perfections by doing good, both in the immediate term and over the long term. Same with status. When people praise you, take it as encouragement to do good. Now, sometimes people will praise you, though, for the wrong things. So when you gain praise, ask yourself, okay, what are they praising me for? Is this something that I really should be encouraged or not? And as for the pleasures of the world, as the Buddha said, when you gain wealth, you use it and you gain some pleasure from it. You don't be so stingy that you can't allow yourself to enjoy your wealth. But you're not a spendthrift. If you can't enjoy your wealth, then you're going to resent other people who enjoy their wealth. It's going to be impossible to develop thoughts of goodwill, thoughts of empathetic joy. So the quote-unquote good things of the world do have their good purposes, if you use them for their good purpose. It's up to you how you use them. Because they're going to be replaced at some time with loss of wealth, loss of status, criticism, and pain. Of course, you can learn from those things as well. When you lose your status, you lose your wealth. You learn who your true friends are. When people criticize you, you can ask yourself, to what extent is the criticism true? If it is true, you've learned something important. If it's not true, well, you've learned something about the other person. But if it is true, here's your chance to correct your faults. As the Buddha said, when someone points out your faults, regard that person as someone who's pointing out treasure, an area where you can improve yourself, which you might have noticed not you might not have noticed before. When pain comes, it's a good opportunity to learn how to separate your mind from its objects. The pain can be one thing, your awareness is something else, the body is something else. When you can see it in these terms, then you've learned an important lesson. There are some things you learn from pain that you can't learn from pleasure. So if you take the things of the world and you use them for the right purpose, then they don't have any poison. If you abuse them, in other words, you use your wealth and status in order to oppress other people, in order to gain more wealth and status, these things turn poisonous. Praise turns poisonous. Pleasures turn poisonous if you don't use them well. So it all depends on how pure your motives are. This gets back to that point. This is what the Dharma is for, to purify the mind, purify the heart. We live in a world that has lots of opportunities for impurity, and we've taken advantage of them for the sake of impurity for a long, long time. But when we make up our minds, we're going to use them for pure motives, for pure purposes. That's when we're actually practicing the Dharma in accordance with the Dharma. We're showing respect to the Buddha, who made so many sacrifices. He sacrificed his life in the palace to get awakening. And then after awakening, he could have just enjoyed the bliss of release for the rest of his life. But he's willing to sacrifice that for the sake of setting up the Dharma in the Vinaya so that we can have the Dharma in Vinaya to practice to this day, 2,600 years later. That was a huge sacrifice on his part. But here we are benefiting from it. So the best way to honor him is not just through flowers and incense or just bowing down. It's by actually taking his Dharma and practicing it seriously as he taught it and with the purpose of purifying our minds. We use the Dharma for the purpose for which he taught the Dharma. That's the kind of thing that will satisfy him. Ajahn Lee used to say that if you want to keep your Ajahn alive, food for an Ajahn is the good practice of his students. As he said, he's a Lumpa Yak, which means a venerable father demon who eats humans. In other words, he eats the good actions of his students. That's the kind of thing that makes life worth living and making you want to breathe a little bit longer. So you can be around to see more and more benefits like that. So keep in mind what the purpose of all this is, all these monasteries we have, the practices we have, the ways we have of honoring one another. They're all for the purpose of purifying the mind. We keep that purpose in mind, then it all serves a good purpose.